right, Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For because the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That's Psalms to believers. All six verses. Do you know that? There's something just precious here. That's how the psalm begins. Blessed or blessed. You know, I looked that word up. It means straight. And it says used in the widest sense. You can't outuse this word. Straight. Especially to be level, right, and happy. Straight, level, right, and happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The blessed man, that's the title of my message, the blessed man is our Lord Jesus Christ. For you and I, or anyone, if we are to be blessed, if you want to have any straightness, any levelness, any rightness, any happiness, to be right before God, to be happy, to be joyous about those things, if we are to be blessed, it's going to be in Him. The blessed man. It says there, blessed is the man. Remember, blessed means straight. Is that us? Are you straight? Are you narrow? Are you always walking away from the ungodly? Is that us by nature? Our Lord said, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. They're looking for a gate. That's a problem. That's why so few look for it. Some way that they see fit. Not a person. Not a person. Not straight. That blessed man, that straight man is Christ. And level. That's what John the Baptist came to prophesy to us, wasn't it? It says in Isaiah 40, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for your God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. It's going to be level. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. All those trials, those crests and troughs of trials, waves of the Lord's wrath will be made level. He's straight. He's level. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. How are we going to enter that straight gate? His glory must be revealed to us. That's Christ. How's all these rough trials of this life and this world, all these high places and low places, how's that going to be made level? That blessed man. The glory of God's going to be revealed. Christ is. And it means right. Blessed means straight, level, and right. All what the Lord does is right, isn't it? He's God. That's his attribute of his holiness. Whatever he does is right. See, read that in Genesis 18. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's holy. He's straight, level, and right. And happy. Happy. Boy, so many times I'm not happy. I got a permanent crease right there in my... My eyes are... It's always shiny outside. Who let all this light in? It's too hot. Crease. He's happy. He's happy. It says in Psalm 40, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it's written of me, I delight to do thy will. What we just read in Psalm 127. Happy is the man whose quiver is full. We're his arrows. His children. He's happy. He's blessed. He's the blessed man. Micah said, who is a God like unto thee? This is our response. If the Lord show us, he'd take a sinner and say, who's the blessed man? Well, I'm so blessed. Really? Are you the blessed man? Who's the blessed man? Christ is. He's a straight way. He makes all things level. He's right. He's happy. If we see Him, you know what we say? Who's a God like unto thee? Oh, who's like you? Who pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. Who's a God like that? He's happy to show mercy. We know who He is. The Holy God. Heaven and earth. Creator of all things. Ruler of all things. All things. Okay. A-double-L. Right? All. Good and bad. He rules it. He delights to show mercy. Happy. Happy to show mercy to sinners. What a God. What a God. Who's the blessed man? Christ is. We must see Christ in this before we can rightly see ourselves in this, before we can be the blessed man. We have to, don't we? Let's talk about the counsel. There says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. From my conception till now, is that me? Have I, in this flesh, have I not walked in the counsel of the ungodly? Have you ever walked in the counsel of the ungodly? I got an oxygen sensor that needs to be placed on my car tomorrow. I had to get some counsel somewhere. I got to figure out how to take that thing off. That's worldly, right? But how often do I pray like my grandpa prayed? It's not him, is it? How often do I do something somebody else does just because I watched them? Even now, I'm draped in just the grave clothes of my sin birth because I'm in this body of death. Everything about me. Now, a friend of mine asked this question. I thought it bears repeating. Is there any true wisdom and counsel other than Christ? Can you find any true counsel, any true wisdom apart from Him? Can't do it, can you? It says in Isaiah 9, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder, singular. What am I worried about? Who's in Washington? I don't know, it's on His shoulder. He does it, don't he? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Christ doesn't take counsel, especially from ungodly men, you know. He doesn't take counsel. He's the Counselor. He's a source of all counsel. That's who He is. I take counsel. Man takes counsel. Lord doesn't. He doesn't take counsel. It says in Isaiah 40, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or been His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, or who instructed Him and taught Him the path of judgment, taught Him knowledge, and showed Him the way of understanding? Not us. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. He doesn't take counsel from nothing godly. That's the blessed man. It says He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor does He standeth in the way of sinners. Is that me? Do I walk in the way, the path of sinners? Do I commit sin? Paul said, I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that is good, I find not. Then I find a law. This ain't a happenstance. This doesn't happen every now and then. It's a law. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. This is the most used, the man that labored more than them all. Great apostle. Apostle Paul. And he said, there's a law that every time I want to do good, I'm evil. I'm standing, I'm walking in the way of sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And you know that you're on that road. That's the only thing your feet touch in this earth is sin. It's all I am, it's all I walk. I walk, stand, and sit in sin. That's all I do, I sleep in it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from that? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our deliverer. He doesn't walk in the way of sinners. Christ does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. His place, His standing. What in the way of sinners? The way means His conversation, His manner, His course of life. He was not a sinner. Why? He was without sin. That's important to say. We need to be reminded of those things. Our substitute has no sin in Him. Our representative, the one who stood before a holy God in my stead, had no sin. That's precious. That's monumental. That's money. We don't know what that's like, do we? Other little g gods in religion. Buddha, Muhammad, the Pope, man. That's our greatest little g god in itself. We make gods like unto ourselves, don't we? They all have sin in them, not Christ the spotless lamb. His conversation was perfect because there was no guile in him. It's in Hebrews 15, for we have not a high priest. Hebrews 4:15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't stand in the way of sinners. He didn't stand on that road and that walk and that nature of sinners. And He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't get in the way of sinners. Man does. The ungodly does. I do. I pray the Lord keep me from it. What do you have to do to come to God? Well, you've got to clean up outside the cup. You better stop watching movies that say bad words in them. And you better not do this. You better quit chewing tobacco. And you better stop doing that. And start doing this. You better tithe. You better do... Right? It's putting something in the way. It's putting an idol in between a man and God. Something there other than Christ, isn't it? Aren't you glad Christ doesn't do that? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ does not stand in our way? Give us a laundry list of things to do to approach Him. Are you happy and blessed in that wondrous grace and mercy He has? And His meekness, His lowliness of heart. Come unto me. Come here. Come on. It's all right. Don't you like hearing it's okay? Don't you? Anytime I do anything, I'm writing a letter or I don't bake cakes, but if I was to bake cakes, that's okay. That's all right. Come unto me. That's how He comes to us. What a blessed yoke, isn't it? He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He stood in the way for sinners. And that's something. He's the way. Christ did not sit in the seat of the scornful or the mocker. For those He died for, those that He blessed, says in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, of the mocker. God, could you imagine? There used to be a movie back in the 80s, Defending Your Life, I think was the name of something. People died, and they got a week or two, and you got to put your whole life up on a movie screen, and a big council sits around. It's foolishness, every bit of it. And I thought, who would... That ain't a movie, that's a nightmare. I had to do something for a facet of work one time, and we went to a room, and everything I had ever done in that area was up on a screen, and everybody in the room had to watch it. And I wanted to crawl underneath the desk and hide underneath the rock. That's a shameful. Well, you did okay here, but why? Because they're not there to just clap for you, are they? Help you improve. And could you imagine having your life spread abroad for all to see? Every thought you've ever had, every secret you've ever had, displayed, mocked. What'd you do? Look at that. That's you, isn't it? That's a shameful place to be, wouldn't it? That's called final judgment. What amazes me is that the one who had every right to mock sinners, didn't he? Would it have been right if he'd have said, you know what, Rome, I don't like what you're doing. I'm going to shut this down. Would that have been right? He could have done that, couldn't he? He had every right to mock sinners and to judge them and to scorn them. He's right in doing so. And He did not sit in the seat of the scornful, but rather stood in front of the scorners for His people. What a thought. That's the blessed man. Turn over to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 6. We know this is our Lord speaking. Because He begins in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the work of the cross, isn't it? Standing in front of those scorners for us. It says in verse 6, but I am a worm made unto us, made me. That's what it said in Isaiah 41, fear not thou worm, Jacob. For I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They scorn him. He didn't sit in the seat of scorn. He stood in front of them. They shout out the lip. They shake the head. They pop off at the mouth and go, shake their head no. Saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. What happened in Mark 15? Likewise also the chief priests mocking, scorning, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Every time I read Matthew 27, I'm just tore all to pieces. He didn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He was scorned. He was wounded for our transgressions. By his stripes we are healed. What a thought. He's the blessed man. Right in Psalm 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He delighted to honor the Father in his holy law. He delighted. You get, go look at a speed limit sign. And even if you obey it, well, I guess I have to. I don't want to drive 55 or 45 or whatever. I don't delight in a speed limit, do I? Christ delighted in the holy law of God willfully. He delighted in it. All the scriptures, every jot and tittle, he fulfilled it. Filled it full. And he meditated night and day. What's that called? We're instructed to pray without ceasing, aren't we? You ever had a bad dream? He didn't. While he slept, he was in communion with the Father, praying without ceasing. His thoughts were pure and perfect and holy while made under that law. Christ did it. Blessed, straight, level, right, happy. And he delighted to do so. It says in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Isaiah told us, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He's going to grow up as a tree, isn't he? He grew up before men. We saw him. He was born here on this earth. He grew up, grew in stature, grew in knowledge. In the stead of men, in the stead of his people, he grew for them the tree of life. And then the Father cut him down. And he was planted by the rivers of God's wrath of sin for his people. And all of that happened. All of that happened that he might bring forth his fruit in his season. That's why he did it. That he shall save their people from their sins. And that salvation, Israel receiving double for all her iniquity. And that'll last forever. Forever. It says in verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A fig leaf pictures man's works, doesn't it? We see that in the garden. It's showing man's attempt to cover himself by something other than the covering, the leaf, the atonement of Christ. We want to put our hand to it. We want to do something. Man's works, our covering, all of our leaves are cursed, isn't it? Anything we put our hand to, it's no good. It withers, every bit of it. We need this tree of life. We need the Lord's righteousness and not our own. We need his covering and not our own. That's what the Lord cursed, didn't it? On this earth. You know, he cursed a fig tree. It says, when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. Only leaves. And no fruit there. Just a covering. Man's covering. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently, the fig tree withered away. You ain't going to come to God by yourself. You ain't going to come in your covering. But his leaf, his work, his body never withered, did it? He never saw corruption. And that covering, the leaf that is from him, it'll never wither. It'll never fade. Adam's fig leaf, it withered. His righteousness went away. It's gone. Dust. But the robe we're clothed in, it'll never fail. We'll never be ashamed in him. It'll only prosper. And it says there, it shall prosper. Go read the Ten Commandments sometime. That's a promise to his people. Do you know that? Read them that way. You shall have no other gods. You ain't going to. His people ain't going to. Because of what Christ did. What he bore. The righteousness he's put on them. It shall prosper. It shall prosper. And he did all that willingly. Isaiah 42 said he shall not fail. It's going to prosper. Nor be discouraged. What a thought. I get discouraged so easy. All day, every day. Not him. Happy. Undiscouraged. To those that are outside of Christ, outside of the blessed man, there's no hope. There's no hope for you. Those that seek their own counsel, they stand in the way of sinners, giving them something they got to do. They sit in the seat of the mocker. I wouldn't do that. I would never do that. Like Peter said, never, right? Sit in the seat of the scorner. They delight in this flesh instead of delighting in the law of God. They meditate on what we want and what we think ought to happen. Not meditating on His law, night and day. Those that plant themselves and provide their own leaves and their own covering will not prosper. It will not prosper. But thanks be to God, He delights to show mercy. And His planting of this tree shall prosper. It shall prosper. Look here in verse 4. This is to us. The ungodly are not so. Do you agree with that? If we see Christ, the blessed man, that's Him. Anything the Lord is pleased with, as He said, it's my Son in whom I'm well pleased. If we see Him, does that crush you? That ain't me. I'm ungodly. It's not so with me. We cry out, Lord, this isn't me. I have no robes of righteousness. None. There's none in the filthy rags, that's all it is. Christ is the only one that's blessed, straight, level, right, and willing, and happy. I'm not. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. That's something. God the Holy Ghost moving in like the wind that blows where it listeth. Must come and put away this chaff of our flesh. The Lord slays us when we look at that law. We see we're ungodly. And then just like the chaff, this body of death gets blew away. Because there's a new man there in place. There's an incorruptible seed inside of His people. Because of this, being cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb, being planted and born again, given a holy nature that cannot sin, this body of death is going to be consumed by worms, isn't it? That's what Job said. He said, For I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that he shall stand on the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, what you're looking at is going to be gone. There'll be nothing left of it. Yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him, and not another. This chaff's going to blow away. This body of death's going to be gone. All this pain and suffering and trials and wickedness and usefulness. Ain't nothing useful about it, is there? It's chaff. Can't even feed that cow. Blow it away. Burn it. There's incorruptible seed in there that the Lord planted. It says in verse 5, Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Because I was born when Christ was born in Him. Because I lived as He lived. Because I died in Him. And I'm risen with Him. No believer will ever stand in the judgment. You afraid to die? People say, I was talking to a friend yesterday. He said, "What?" I was talking to him about something I was planning on doing. And he said, that may kill you. And I said, so? You got something to live for here on this earth? For me to live is Christ. He's put something in my hand to do. Make me work. Serve Him. Serve His people. But if he said, that's it. You're going home tonight. Okay. Let's go. Tell my family I love them. Tell y'all bye. I'm out of here. Be happy, wouldn't I? I won't see the judgment. His people won't see the judgment because sin has been paid for in blood. The blood of Christ. Is that because the Lord looked at me? Did He look inside that house or did He look at the blood on the doorpost? He looked at Christ, didn't He? Here's the reason why, verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. He knows Christ. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Anything that's not Him, not in Him, the blessed man, it's all going to go away. Let me spin up. When the Father looks at this ungodly worm of Jacob, He only sees the way of the righteous one of Israel. His elect, His chosen. And this body of death is going to be remembered no more. And I'm thankful. Ain't you? We ain't going to be mocked and scorned as we just rightly deserve, as I've earned. It'll be put away. How does this, obviously this is Christ and what He does for His people. How does this apply to us? How is this going to hit us? I hope this is a blessing to us. Remember, blessing means to be straight, especially level, right, and happy. We said in day five, like I mentioned. But how are we blessed? How are we found in favor of the Holy God? Him being for us. How are we happy? How are we made level? How are we made right? We're ungodly, ain't we? Who's been our counselor? Paul wrote to us in Romans 5. He said, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Sinners is who He came to save, isn't it? How are we going to know about that? How are we going to have that wisdom? How are we going to have some counsel? He's about to send a preacher to tell us, isn't it? What's that preacher going to say? But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom. Wisdom. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's all of our counsel is Him. The blessed man. He said in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, you can do nothing. And if a man abide not in Me, he is cast forth as a branch as it withered. And men gather it and cast it in the fire, and they're burned. That tree planted by those rivers of living water. If we're not part of that branch, that root of Jesse, will bring forth no fruit, will be cast forever away, won't it? How has this come to us? How has this come? I'm going to have to turn to just a couple of scriptures and we'll be done. How has this come to us? Blessed is the man whom the Lord chooses and draws unto Him. Isn't it? God's got to choose a people to put in this blessed man. That's our only hope. Because we're the ungodly. We're not, are we? Turn over to Psalm 65. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest irresistibly to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. That's where we'll live forever. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even Thy holy temple. But people are so against election and that term, and they have mean things to say about me my whole life. But the one who the Lord chooses, that's blessed. It's right. They're going to be happy, ain't they? That's a good thing. It makes me approach Him. Why? So I can dwell in His courts. I can be in His presence. No condemnation. That's a blessed thing, isn't it? And we'll be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house. Oh, you going to be happy with that? I'm happy now, ain't I? And of Thy holy temple. You'll be in His presence. What could be better? Whenever that comes, like those growing pains of grace and growing pains of this body, and the Lord reveals His holiness to us. He's the God that elects in Christ the blessed man. And we see His perfection. All His ways are right. Oh, we see what we are, don't we? That's being chastened, isn't it? Turn over to Psalm 94. That's a good thing if the Lord chastens you. He comes in with that two-edged sword and just cuts you all to pieces. And the tears start flying. That's a good thing. That's a good place to be. Psalm 94, verse 12. Blessed is the man whom Thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of Thy law, that Thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord to come to somebody and convict them of sin, that's painful. That's a whipping, isn't it? That hurts. That stings. Every time I see what I am, every day I wake up and I see just a little bit more of myself, that stings, it chastens. But the Lord teaches me out of His law. Look how wicked I am. I can't keep the law. Christ did. He teaches us that, doesn't He? And He does that way He can give His people rest from the days of adversity. I'm so opposed to my own self. I stand in the way of this sinner. and he gives me rest. That law has been fulfilled. You didn't fulfill it, Christ did. That's a chastening, isn't it? Daily. I was reading this and studying Psalm 1 and went to sleep Friday night. And I woke up Saturday morning knowing I was going to sit and just read this over and over and study it all day. And I woke up in such a bad mood. I was just angry. Woke up mad. Woke up on the wrong side. What's wrong with me? I got to go read about the blessed man. How we're blessed in him. I was chastened. And then I had rest in him. Isn't that something? That's blessing, isn't it? That's blessed. Blessed is a man whose trust and hope is in the Lord. Turn over to Jeremiah 17. Just a couple books to your right. Jeremiah 17. Verse 5, Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit in the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, will be made like Christ, that spreadeth out his roots by the river, steady, firm, and shall not see when the heat cometh. We won't even pay attention to it. But her leaf shall be green. It'll never wither. Always having shade, always having protection. And shall not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. It's going to be dry. That's all right. We won't have much water. Man, it's okay. It won't cease from yielding fruit. Fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Someone's blessed and has all their trust, all their hope, all their expectation. A sure expectation in the Lord. That's what will happen for them. And blessed is the man in whom the Lord will not impute sin. Turn over to Romans 4 and I'll let you go. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That's blessed, and all of your sin is separated as far as the east is from the west. Gone. But he adds to that, doesn't he? Paul adds to it. Look here in verse 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, that sin's gone, isn't it? What's impute mean? To count? It's an accounting term. And so I go, look, there's water in that glass. Why? Because I looked at it and there's water in the glass. The Lord removed all of our sin. And here's a promise. He will not impute. He will not see. He will not count past, present, or ever in the future sin in His people.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that something? What a promise. That's a blessing, isn't it? That's a blessing. For us, the Lord calls His people. Makes them come to Him. Thank you, Lord. And we're happy. We're happy to. And we're chastened in that. We're showed what we are. We don't get puffed up. We don't start looking to flesh and man and put our trust there. He chastens His children. He brings them to Him. He fitly frames them together. He does it. He said so. He promises. And He teaches us He ain't going to impute sin to us. It'll never happen. I'm giving you a holy nature. And that tree's going to live forever. Fruit's going to be produced forever. That leaf will never wither. It'll never fade. That's something. That's salvation. And what's all it wrapped up in? Paul wrote to us in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. All of them. All of them. Everything. In heavenly places in Christ. In the blessed man to be put in him. That's something. I pray the Lord would give that to our hearts. That brings new men. People walk around this world saying, oh, how you doing today? I'm blessed. Are you? Are you? Be careful what you say. If you are, you are. The Lord's blessed you. If He's pushed you in the blessed man, oh, you're very blessed. We have something to rejoice about and a person to rejoice in, don't we? All right, let's pray together.